Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. That's genuine love. In the Colorado shooting, the most recent one, about 20 miles from Columbine, where 20 years ago multiple students were gunned down. During this episode, the shooting, that was a young man who is being praised and remembered very fondly by the school community as well as the regular community, because he intervened and he charged the student that was doing the shooting. And there was one young lady in particular whose life was saved that we can easily identify, because he was willing to lay down his life, placing himself in harm's way, and his life was taken. But he gave his life for that young lady and others that probably would have been gunned down had it not been for the intervention of this young man. Jesus laid down his life for the entire human race. While we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly, for scarcely for a righteous man would one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Certainly there is no friend like the lowly Jesus. We should be willing to lay down our lives for each other. And that's something that some of us might get a little nervous contemplating. Would I be willing to sacrifice my life for somebody else? It's sobering food for meaningful thought. But we are glad, we are grateful, we are thankful that Jesus was willing to give his life for us. What is your favorite color? Think about it. What is your favorite color? What is your favorite color? Just be thinking about it. You don't have to articulate it or say it out loud. But most of us have favorite colors. Usually, with reference to many colors, there are certain ideas identified with them, certain things that colors have come to represent. And we want to talk just a few minutes this evening about some colors that describe attitudes and sins around the cross. So we want to think in terms of the colors of Calvary. The colors of Calvary. And I want you to identify both positive and negative color representations in this lesson. And I want you to particularly identify with the positive, meaningful, significant colors. Now, the first color we want to look at is depicted in the scripture lesson that was read. That is Matthew 27 and verse number 18. Matthew 27 and verse number 18. The Bible says, speaking of Pilate, just read verses 17 and 18. Verses 17 and 18. Matthew 27, 17 and 18. Therefore, when they were gathered together, Pilate said unto them, Whom will ye that I release unto you? Barabbas, who was a notable prisoner, or Jesus, which is called Christ? He was seeking basically not everything he could, but he sought genuinely and seriously to have Jesus released. And that was a custom that you could give the officials and the people the choice between two prisoners or between two inmates and let them decide. And so Jesus was one of the ones that was being considered. Barabbas, who was a notable criminal, who was guilty of sin, he was presented. He said, which one shall I release, Barabbas or Jesus, which is called Christ? He wanted to release Jesus, but they insisted on having Barabbas released. So in a sense, Jesus took the place of Barabbas. He was a criminal, he was a sinner. And in a very real sense, Jesus took your place and he took my place because we are sinners as well. Pilate had some insight into the political maneuvering that was taking place, the manipulation that was taking place, because verse 18 affirms, for he knew that for envy they had delivered him. What color do you think of when you think about envy? What color comes to mind? Say it again.
Green.
Green. You think about the color green when you think about envy. Envy, which is closely akin to jealousy, often is associated with green as well. We talk, when we speak of envy, of the, what kind of monster? The green-eyed monster. The green-eyed monster was operating in this particular context. The leaders of the Jews who despised Christ were envious of his popularity with the people. They were envious of the influence that Jesus had and exerted. They were envious of the power that Jesus demonstrated. And so they were determined that they were going to take his life. They were determined that if it was the last thing they did, they were going to see to it that Jesus was crucified. And they were successful, but they were motivated in large measure by envy. Sometimes today, our actions are motivated by envy. Are you envious? Do you ever demonstrate a spirit of envy? We define envy as a smoldering sense of discontent, often tinged with malice at the supposed or at the real or imagined good fortune of another. We are envious of people that have things that we wish we had. That's what envy is. Jealousy, on the other hand, when you look at it specifically, in contrast to envy, jealousy is fear of the loss of another's exclusive devotion. A man can be jealous of his wife if he thinks somebody else is interested in her. A man can be envious of something that somebody else has. Maybe a man has a, like CJ, has a beautiful red Lexus sports car. One could look at that, CJ, and be very envious, just kind of sustaining a feeling of malice and ill will, wishing you didn't have that car and wishing that individual who is envious had it. And envy operates all the time. Jealousy operates, but we associate those particular sins or problems with the color green. But not only do we see around the cross green representing envy, but we also see yellow. What do y'all think about when you think about yellow? Cowardice. Pilate exemplified a spirit of cowardice. The Bible says he took water in verse 24 of Matthew 27. He took water and washed his hands before the multitude. He just refused to take a stand because he was afraid of the consequences that he would be reported to the Roman governors, and so the governor, Pilate, going to be reported to Caesar, his superiors. He was just plain yellow. He would not take the stand, and so he washed his hands of the matter. So I'm not going to deal with this. He was afraid. He was scared. He was yellow. What about you? You ever been yellow? Do you ever demonstrate a spirit of cowardice? We don't have to. Notice what Paul said to Timothy, 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Timothy tended to be a little timid, a little nervous and apprehensive. But Paul, in an effort to encourage him, in 2 Timothy 1, 7 said, "For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." When we have a sound or a healthy mind spiritually, we don't have to cower in fear before the opposition or before the enemy or before Satan. God has given us a spirit of power and of love and of a sound mind. We don't have to be yellow. We don't have to demonstrate a spirit of cowardice. So let us be courageous rather than cowardly. Many of us would like to talk to folk about Jesus, but we get very nervous and apprehensive. And we keep quiet when we ought to speak up. You remember Mark chapter 1, where the ex-leper was told by Jesus, after Jesus healed him of his leprosy, Jesus told him, "Don't tell about what has happened to you." But he was so excited. He was so enthusiastic. He was so grateful. He was so thankful that he went out and did what? He told everybody. He blazed the message abroad. Everywhere he could tell people about what had happened to him, spread the good news, he did it. What about us? Jesus issued a gag order on the ex-leper. Be quiet. Don't tell nobody. And he told everybody. Now, we act as if sometimes that Jesus has put a gag order on us. Jesus tells us, however, the very opposite. What does Jesus tell us? He tells us to tell everybody. What was that? Go tell it on the mountain? Okay. Everywhere. Okay. Over the hills and plains. But Jesus said, go into all the world and tell the whole world. Preach the gospel to every creature. You go tell everybody, because this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. So he tells us to tell everybody. He wants everybody saved. What do we do? Think about the ex-leper. What did the ex-leper do? He told everybody, but Jesus told him, ex-leper, don't tell nobody. You keep it quiet. Keep it to yourself. But he was so excited he couldn't keep it to himself. He just had to tell folks about it. We have full permission, not only permission, but we are mandated to share the gospel with everybody. But sometimes we don't tell anybody. The ex-leper was told not to tell anybody, but he ended up telling everybody. There's a lesson we learn from the ex-leper. He had the courage, he had the enthusiasm, he had the zeal to tell everybody about his healing, his being made whole. When Jesus had restrained him, told him not to tell anybody, he told everybody. We need to tell everybody. We need to get to that point where we can feel free to share the gospel, not cower down, not be reluctant, not be afraid, not be fearful, but be courageous and share the gospel. Of course, there's a way to share the message of the gospel, but let us avoid, let us reject, let's repudiate the spirit of cowardice represented by the color of yellow. There's another color that was represented at Calvary, and that was the color gray. You think about gray, you think about that which is uncertain, you think about that which is indistinct, you think about that which is not clear, not well defined. Gray is the color of unbelief. And you have a number of people who exemplify a spirit and an attitude characterized by the color gray. Pilate demonstrated this in John 18 and verse 38 when he asked the question, what is truth? People asking that question today, they don't want to know the truth. They feel like every truth or every affirmation or every religious system is true, that there are no false religions, that we can't be sure about what is true and what is right. Jesus said in John 8 and verse 32, well, starting with verse 31, and then said Jesus to those Jews which believe on him, if you continue in my word, then are you my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. John 17, 17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is truth. It's clearly defined and discernible, black and white. It represents right and wrong. You know, the people in the LGBTQ crowd, they don't feel that their lifestyle is out of harmony with truth. They feel like their truth, their sexual alternative lifestyle is just as valid, is just as real, is just as true as any other lifestyle. But that's not true. The Bible clearly defines right from wrong. Religiously, there are some folks who hold to false belief system based upon the Word of God, but they regard their system as being true as well. We have to confront these people and these religious systems and share the actual truth from God's word with them. So let us not operate in a gray, uncertain, indistinct area. Let us deal with truth, black and white. There's another color that I want you to think about, and that's the color purple. The color purple. Purple basically represents royalty. Now, when we look at John 19, 1 through 3, then Pilate therefore took Jesus and scourged him, and the soldiers plaited a crown of thorns and put it on his head, and they put on him a purple robe and said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they smote him with their hands. They mocked him by putting the purple robe on him. They knew that the purple robe represented royalty, but they didn't regard him as being royal. They didn't regard him as being a king. They didn't regard him as being the Son of God. And so they mocked him by saying, "Okay, since you're a king, we'll put this purple robe on you." And in the process, they were mocking him. And they said, "Hail, King of the Jews." And they were laughing because they didn't regard him as such. So the purple represented royalty. But in reality, not only was Jesus royalty, but we also are royalty. We are a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, according to 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 9 and 10. We are a royal generation. So we need to feel good about us being royalty. You know, they make so much fuss over Meghan and Harry and William and his wife. They are royalty. Sometimes I get sick of all this stuff about Harry and Meghan and their new baby, the little guy, and I have nothing against them. I have nothing against them. But you are more royal in a larger sense than either Harry or his brother or their wives. You know, because we are royal on a spiritual level. Let's look right quick at 1 Peter. I want to go ahead and get that passage right. 1 Peter chapter 2. If you'll just turn there with me for just one moment, we'll be finished. Verse number 9, 1 Peter chapter 2. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. So you can tell folks, I am royalty. I'm more royal than Harry and Meghan. And you can feel good about yourself identifying as a part of the royal priesthood of God. The other color is, or another color, and I'm just going to mention these in passing, the color of innocence. Jesus was a lamb without blemish or without spot, who did no sin, neither was any guile found in his mouth. Jesus, represented by white. White represents innocence. White represents a spirit of purity, and that characterized Christ. But then we think about crimson. Crimson is the color of forgiveness. When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper in Matthew 26, 28, he said, "For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins." Blood represents forgiveness, represents redemption, represents cleansing. The Bible lets us know, "For as much as you know, you were not redeemed by corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, by traditions from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb without spot and without blemish. Jesus shed his precious blood in order to forgive us of our sins. And then finally, we want to think about the color blue. I know a person who was known in years gone by as true blue. That means the color of loyalty and fidelity. Mama, Jesus' mama, Jesus' mother, she could be characterized as a true blue mother. And she's not by herself. There have been other mothers that could be characterized as true blue. That's the color of loyalty and fidelity. And the reason I say that about Jesus' mother, about Miss Mary, Jesus' mama stuck with him to the very end. She didn't abandon her son. Some of the other women in John were right there as well, exemplifying a commendable, true blue spirit. I'm especially appreciative of mothers that are right there for their children in good times and bad, who are loyal, who are faithful in sticking with their children. A lesser woman than Mary probably would have fled, but listen to what John records. And this is my final point, John 19, 25 through 27. We started out this morning talking about honoring our mothers. His mother honored him. Now there stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. She stood by the cross. It had to be a very anguish inducing experience for her to be there while her son was crucified, while her son was mocked, while her son was jeered, while her son was suffering in great anguish, while her son was bleeding, while he was hanging there shamefully. For all practical purposes, when Jesus was hanging on the cross, Jesus was basically naked. He was exposed to the gazing eyes of the enemies and those who witnessed the crucifixion. But Mrs. Mary, she didn't allow that to affect her. There stood by the cross of Jesus, his mother. Mama was right there to the very end. And his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleophas, and Mary Magdalene. These women were true blue women. When Jesus therefore saw his mother and Mary Magdalene, when Jesus therefore saw his mother and the disciple standing by, that was John, the disciple whom he loved, he saith unto his mother, "Woman, behold thy son." Then saith he to the disciple, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, that disciple took her unto his own home. I don't know why she was not entrusted into the care of the siblings of Jesus, but he knew John would take good care of her. And it is stated in secular history that Mary lived with John for the rest of her days in the city of Ephesus. Whether that's true or not, I can't fully verify it, but I do know that Mary, his mother, showed a spirit of loyalty and fidelity. May that same spirit be demonstrated by us as we strive to be faithful unto death, knowing that we're going to receive the crown of life. The lesson is yours. I just want to challenge all of us to be true blue when it comes to Christ. Let us be faithful to him. Let us be loyal to him. And if we'll keep these thoughts uppermost in our minds this week, I think we will be well served. If there's somebody here who has not been faithful to this point, who have become faithless, or who have fallen from the faith or strayed from the faith, this is a good time to come back. You can do that through repentance, confession, and prayer. Don't be characterized by cowardice. Don't be characterized by envy. Don't be characterized by any of the negative concepts represented by the different colors, but be characterized by blue, true blue. If you're here and need to rededicate your life or need to make a request for prayer, let us together stand and let us sing.